chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to do considerable backing up and end up in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. So if you want to start out in the book of 1 Corinthians, find that, and then we'll back up to the book of Numbers as we move into the main part of our time this morning. I want to thank everybody who did the cooking today and serving in our fellowship meal earlier. It was amazing, as always. So many talented cooks that we have among us, and people who are ready to jump in and serve and in whatever capacity they can and need to, and appreciate that a lot. It was sure very good. Every bit of it was good. If you were to give a list of people in the Bible, in the New Testament in particular, who started out well in their Christian life, but who did not end up well, I want you to think for just a minute who might be on that list. They started well, but they didn't end very well. I'm going to parade a couple of them before you. Probably would think maybe about the people whom were Jesus' disciples in John 6 and verse 66. And when Jesus had made some hard sayings, John records, "These are hard sayings. Who can hear it?" they said. And right after that, John records that, well, many of his disciples, they went back and they walked with him no more. Those things that Jesus had to say were quite a challenge to them, and they decided that, you know, it's time for me to tag out. I don't want to go this way anymore. And so they started out well, but they didn't end up so well. I think certainly on that list would be Ananias and Sapphira. You remember in Acts 5 who gave a certain contribution for the help of the church, but for whatever reason they chose to lie about that. It was theirs to give, ever how much they decided to give. There wasn't any particular reason for lying, and yet they planned ahead of time that they would lie about this. And so first the husband lied, and then it wasn't but just a little bit longer, and the other lied as well. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they started well. They were among the disciples of Christ, but it really didn't turn out too well for them. I think of Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we don't have a lot in the Bible about them, but what Paul simply says is they had made shipwreck the faith. Somehow, some way, they had again decided, like so many of these others, that it was really not what they wanted. And then I don't think we could forget Demas in that way as well. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul wrote about him, "That Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." It's a little bit like the Christians to whom James was writing about in James chapter 4, who had adulterated themselves and had become friends with the world. They went back into the world. Well, so did Demas. Demas served faithfully for a while, but he didn't hold out all the way through to the end. And certainly there would be many other names on that infamous list as well. Judas would be one that maybe you could think of immediately, and many others as well, unfortunately. And that sad story, as we know, and as we all could name individuals in our own lives who started well, but for whatever reason along the way they decided that Christianity really just wasn't for them, and they're no longer faithful anymore, and it's a tragic and lamentable tale. But on the far other end of that spectrum, there are and always will be people, Christians, followers of God, who understand well what it means to give their lives over to God. And even though there may be some challenges and obstacles and problems that they have to deal with in their life, those obstacles, they never come to the point that they prevent this person from serving God fully all the way to the very end. And they remain faithful and they remain committed. Paul was an individual just like this. He was determined that once he began his Christian life, he wasn't going to let up for any reason or for anybody. If you've made it to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you may remember the verses beginning in verse number 24 where Paul is contemplating Christianity as it is a race. And he said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize?" And then I've always liked this statement. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. And so he says, therefore so run. He's talking about his own self now. He's turned this on to his own self. I run like that. Not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep it under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that was Paul's declaration about, well, that's just how it is in my life. If you don't think Paul had some obstacles and challenges to overcome, then spend some time reading what you will find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about all of those hardships that he faced. And yet, he kept right on. And in the very end, you know, the record of his life, found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my race. I run just like I told you I was going to run. And he says, as a result of that, I have a crown laid up for me. Well, tonight what I want to do with you in our time together is I want to talk to you about another person who was just as equal in his determination that he was going to finish well. And he's found in the Old Testament. He's found in the Old Testament book of Numbers where we first meet him. And his name is Caleb. Caleb is an individual who I know you have studied and read about on many occasions. And so most likely what we're going to talk about tonight is not anything new, probably not anything different than you already know about Caleb. But Caleb sets the mark pretty high because he was one amongst these many individuals who started well and then had that dogged determination that it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what comes into his life. He's not going to be a castaway. He's going to finish well. Now, like all of us, Caleb lived in an environment where he had his challenges. Oh, he doesn't have the same challenges that we have. You know, last week we read in the news about this mother of a young six-year-old boy trying to encourage her son in his sexual orientation and trying to give him some meds to help him and coach him along that. He didn't have problems like that. Those are 21st century problems. But he did have his own problems, didn't he? He did have his own challenges and things that he had to deal with. But despite those, he was not able just to maintain a distinction from his environment, from his backgrounds. But he was able to triumph over them and go on and live a very successful life that God had called him to live. So with me in your Bible, let's look a little bit at the life of Caleb this evening. And really just want to bring out about two things about his life. And we will begin in chapter 14. And when you make it to chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, Numbers 14, I want you to go almost to the end of that chapter, actually about midway into that chapter, and go down to verse number 20. Numbers chapter 14 at verse number 20. And we'll read some things about Caleb. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. And so here Caleb is stood out as an example among all of those other people whose knees buckled, who failed to fully serve God in the way that God had given them to. Caleb stands out as one who did serve God and who given himself fully. And so this little statement that is made about him, Caleb, who had a different spirit, different in regard to the fact that he was different from those faithless spies. While they were saying, we can't, Caleb was saying we can. And so he had a different spirit. Now, I want to begin with you, first of all, about tonight, about looking in on the subject of Caleb's courage, just his plain, raw, bare-bones courage. We are first introduced to Caleb in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, if you want to back up just one chapter in your Bible. And it's there that we find Caleb in Numbers chapter 13 at verse number 6. He is listed among those spies that went in to spy out the land. And there's a whole list of kind of complicated and tedious names within the mentioning of these people. But you'll see right down at the very end of that section that lists their names, sorry about that, we read the name of Caleb. And Caleb, let me get back to him, there we go. Caleb is identified here as the son of Jephthah. And at this point, that's about what we know about him. We're told that he belonged to this man, and so that puts him a part of that tribe of Israelites who were given that task to go in and spy the land. Then the next thing that we read about Caleb is that they are out on the expedition, to spy out the land. It was in the spring of the year. And if you look at Numbers chapter 13, go with me to verse 25. Numbers 13, verse 25. We find that this opportunity to go in and spy out the land, that took them 40 days to accomplish this. And so this was not just an overnight task. This was not something that was going to be easily and quickly accomplished. It took them about 40 days. Caleb was right with them all those 40 days. And it's at this point that the different spirit of Caleb begins to be demonstrated with our Bibles, because he was willing to take a stand and try to encourage the faithless spies, as you recall the story, that despite how bad things look, despite how challenging things look, we really can do it. We can accomplish this task. And so 10 of those spies, you recall, came back with kind of good news, bad news. The good news that they came back with, if you look in this passage, that there was a land there that flowed with milk and honey. And they brought back, apparently, some of the remnants from that land, because they said, here's the fruit of it. You know, here's the evidence. And just in my mind, I can imagine that they had brought back with them from going through this land some of the produce that they found along the way. Maybe some of the fruit trees or some of the vegetables or something. But they brought back a sampling, and they said, here it is. This is a great land. This is an unbelievable land. It flows with milk and honey. And here's the proof. Here's the proof right here. So that's the good news. But the bad news was what we find in the next set of verses. Because in the bad news part of this, in verse number 31, those faithless spies made the comment that, well, this is beyond our ability. And so in Numbers 13, 31, and 32, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people. And here's what they said, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land, notice please, that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. You know, all we read in their report really is how they're struck with fear. We can't do this. It's not possible. The land eats up the people and the inhabitants of that land, the very last line of that verse, they're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are, and we just can't do it. And what they were doing is they had considered things, how they looked, how they appeared, and they didn't consider God at this point, did they? They were walking by sight and not by faith. And as long as they walked by sight, they weren't going to be able to do it. They weren't going to be able to accomplish what God had given them. But Joshua and Caleb, you recall, they were the ones who gave just exactly the opposite report. In fact, your Bible says that Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able." All right, that's Numbers 13 and verse 30. And I think the difference just leaps off the page. The faithless spies, the cowardly spies, "We cannot do this." Joshua and Caleb, "We can do this. We can do this." And I don't think there is a more dramatic set of contrasts to be exhibited anywhere in all of the Bible. In fact, he will make the statement, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us." And take a note of that at Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 8. But here's the thing, do we see the difference? Do we see that the cowardly spies, the faithless spies, they were just looking at externals. They were just looking at how big this problem seemed to be. And when they were looking at how big it was, well, they came to the conclusion, "We can't do this. It's too big. The people are big there. They're bigger than we are. And we're not able," because they had defeated themselves. They weren't looking at God. They weren't looking at what God was able to do for them, with them, and through them. They were only looking at how things appeared. But Caleb was simply trying to motivate the people to go in and possess the land that God had already promised them. You may remember back from Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8. "I'll give you the land. I'll give you the land. In fact, you're not going to have to build the houses. You're not going to have to farm the fields. You're not going to have to plant the trees. I'm going to give it to you." Well, that didn't mean they didn't have to go in and conquest the land. They still had to conquest the land. But when these faithless spies spied it out, no, that the task was too daunting. It was too overwhelming because they were just looking at physical things. And so why were Joshua and Caleb saying "we can" when everyone else was saying "we can't"? I think the answer to that is in this verse, at Numbers 14 and verse number 24. And that is, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, I will bring him into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." I think the key to what made a difference between those faithless, cowardly spies and the different spirit in Caleb is that your Bible says he has fully followed me. He has wholly followed me, as some Bible translations render it. You see, to Caleb, what God said was all he needed. Caleb wasn't concerned about externals because he was walking by faith in God and not by just how things appeared or how things seemed. Whereas the others, well, they were walking by sight and not by faith. And as a result of that, those 10 spies, those 10 cowardly spies, were able to successfully encourage them that they cannot do it. And you know what? The average Jew of Caleb's day did not see the promised land, did he? The average Jew just didn't make it in. What does that say about being average? What does that say about being as close to the top as we are to the bottom? It says it takes a special effort, doesn't it? It takes an extraordinary effort to be the kind of people that will one day inherit the promises. And in the same way that the average Jew did not make it to inherit their promises, you and I need to remind ourselves from time to time that average Christianity, well, it's just not going to be enough. I think Jesus said one time that many are called, but few are chosen. I think on another occasion he said, not everyone, you remember? Not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's a difference, you see, there's a difference. And Caleb understood that difference. Caleb had a different spirit. God had all of Caleb there was. In fact, six times in the record about Caleb's life, six times, your Bible will say about Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord. And it's interesting, what the phrase literally means is that he closed the gap. When it says he wholly followed the Lord, The Hebrew is he closed the gap. Well, that's what he had built his life around, making the distance between he and God as close as he possibly could. He stayed as close to God as he could possibly get. And it refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping the Lord every ounce, every inch, every nerve, every fiber as close as he possibly could, seeking to do everything he could to serve God. As a result of that, when this test came, and it really wouldn't have mattered whether it had been this test or some other test, but when this test came, Caleb met that test with flying colors because he was totally God's. He was wholly God's, not just part of him, but all of him. Somebody made this statement one time, and it's made a lot of sense to me, but the individual said, "The man who kneels before God can stand before anybody or anything." I like that. The person who kneels before God can stand before anyone or anything. Our commitment to God, you see, well, it just colors everything else that we do. Your commitment, my commitment, it's going to affect every relationship that you have. It's going to affect your relationship at home. It's going to affect the kind of person you are where you work. It's going to affect your place in society, how you conduct yourself out in the world. It's going to affect how you encounter and challenge difficulties. All of that will be based upon what's your level of devotion. Are you wholly following God? Caleb passed the test because Caleb was totally given over to God. And so Caleb really forces us to ask ourselves the question, do I have that same kind of courage? Do I have that same kind of courage? Or do we let maybe what's happening around us, maybe that's what dictates our course of action because our eyes are focused on what's happening around us. You know, sometimes it happens like this. Sometimes we read, for example, what we find in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, where God gives a command, and the command is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We read that. We understand what it has to say, but then we don't go talk to our neighbor. Well, and we don't go talk to our neighbor because, well, you know, my neighbor's one of these who has green hair and tattoos all over the place and looks like a staple gun blew up on his face, and so I'm not going to go talk to that person. Sometimes we do it like that, don't we? But God just said, you plant the seed. You just go plant the seed, and I'll water and I'll give the increase. And if that heart is right, well, then that heart will spring forth the fruits. You know, sometimes the people who are so caught up in this world are sometimes the very individuals who, once they understand, make the most dedicated and committed Christians there are. We will not bring people in until we are ready to give ourselves wholly unto God, until we are not looking at externals and saying, well, you know, there's just too many problems. There's too many difficulties. We just cannot do it. And until we change that focus and we are wholly given over to God, well, you know what? Then I can go talk to my neighbor. Then I can be honest in every situation. Then I can be an encourager of the work. I can go out and try to build up those who have become faithless along the way. Caleb's spirit was a different spirit, because when others were saying we can't, he was saying we can. And we must have that same spirit. And the way we have that spirit is we are wholly dedicated to God. We're totally given over to Him. So his courage was that which caused him to be different. And there wasn't anything that was going to be too big or too problematic. Secondly, tonight here, there's some things we really need to consider beyond his courage and talk about his conviction just a little while. His conviction. I want you to sort of put yourself in Caleb's shoes, if you can, for a few minutes. Because due to no fault of his own, Caleb was forced to wander 40 years. He didn't cause this problem. The faithless spies caused that problem. And he just had to deal with it. He just had to suffer with it. The steadfastness of Caleb's commitment was seen in that during these troubled times, and I don't know, what must have probably seemed to Caleb as wasted years because they didn't go in and promise the land is a great testament to the character of the man. Have you ever had to struggle with a problem for a long, long time that you yourself did not cause? You ever been there? Having to struggle with some situation that you didn't create? Well, that's where Caleb is. Have you ever had to struggle with something like that for 40 years? You didn't cause it, but you still have to deal with it? I wonder how you and I would feel if we were in his sandals. I checked it out one time, and I'm sure you have somewhere along the way as well. If you were just to look on a Bible map, when they first came out of their Egyptian bondage, where they were at that point, over to the Canaan land, it would have taken them about 11 days to make that journey. Instead, how long did it take? It took them 40 years. It took them 40 years, and what was happening during those 40 years is all that faithless generation perished because they would not be faithful to God. But you know what? Through all of this, here's where Caleb shines once again. He's not blaming God. We don't ever read about him being angry and shaking his fist in God's face and saying, "Why me? Why did this come upon me?" No, he just keeps right on serving. And he was just yearning for the day that one day he'd be allowed to cross in. Well, you know what? Finally, that day came about 40 years later. He waited 40 years to realize a promise that God had made him. When's the last time you or I waited 40 years for something to occur? Well, he waited 40 years. All that faithless generation died. The leadership of God's people has now been turned over to Joshua. And that new generation of God's people, now they're ready to come in. And by this time, we're into the book of Joshua. The command has been issued to go over and cross and go into the Jordan River. And amongst all of these youngsters is, guess who? Grandpa Caleb. Grandpa Caleb, he's now 85 years old. He's waited 40 years to inherit a promise. What's happened with his conviction all this time? What's happened with his trust, his faith in God all this time? Has it waned? Has the 40 years erased some of his original fervor as a younger man when he said, "We can do it"? Has that kind of subsided a little bit? Or is he just as strong 40 years later as when he started all this? Well, again, I'm not telling you anything. You know the story of Caleb yourself. He is just as strong, isn't he? He's just as faithful. He's just as determined as he was 40 years ago. And so Grandpa Caleb, the very first thing he's going to do is he's going to have a sit-down talk with his longtime friend and now commander of the people of Israel. And, of course, that man is Joshua. And I want you to look over in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, and begin with me in verse number 7. And we're going to pick up on this conversation that Joshua and Caleb are going to have. Joshua chapter 14, beginning verse number 7. We'll read down to verse 13. And I want you to read for yourselves the words of this man. And we read the words of a man whose conviction, well, it's not waned in the least bit. And so he says this, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. You see, that's where his heart was. His heart was, "We can do this." "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, 'Surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I am yet, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Whereupon the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Verse 13 concludes our reading. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for inheritance. Of that reading, I want you to notice verse number 12, because the conviction of Caleb has not changed. It's been 40 years, but his conviction is right where it's always been. And as you look at verse number 12, he makes this statement near the end, if so be the Lord will be with me, then shall I be able. Well, that sounds very familiar, doesn't it? That's the very same words he said 40 years ago. We are able. We can do it. If the Lord's with me, we can do it. And his conviction has not subsided, not even in the least. Now, the place of the inheritance that Caleb was going to get was a place called Hebron. And Hebron in the Hebrew original literally means an association or a fellowship. And it's talking about a closeness and a relationship. Caleb refused to quit, you see, until he had obtained everything that the Lord had promised was going to be his. And he didn't stop until he had that fellowship with God. Now, Caleb's life, it illustrates for us that really in Christianity and in serving God, there's not really a retirement plan, is there? I don't think I read a retirement plan anywhere in the service to Christ. We're given to him until the very last breath that we breathe. Caleb is 85 years old, many years past what maybe some today would consider the age of retirement, but he is not at all reduced in his conviction. And when the Lord's challenge was offered to him that he could now possess the land, well, he was ready, wasn't he? He was ready to go in. And so about Caleb's conviction, we read this in Joshua 14 and verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. And then his statement, if so be the Lord will be with me. He said, I'll be able. I can do it. I can drive them out. Here he is 85 years old. He's saying, I can do it as long as the Lord is with me. And you know what? Even what we might consider in his twilight years, Caleb had that different spirit about him. Here's Numbers 14 and 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. We read early on about Caleb's different spirit, and now here we are, he's an old man, and he still has that same spirit about him. He didn't complain, he didn't shirk any of the tasks at hand. And in fact, when he was ready to go in, he was ready. Caleb inherited what God had promised him because he never wavered. Joshua 14, verse 14 makes this statement. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day because, and there's that phrase again, because he wholly followed the Lord. Now let me just conclude tonight by saying this. Obtaining what God has given us to obtain, going in to possess eternal rest in the after while, that's not for the faint-hearted. It is for the faith-hearted. It's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a lot of conviction. It's going to take a lot of determination. We live in a world in which its population is ever-growing, and more the morality of our environment seems to be moving into areas that if you're not already shaking your head about what you find as the compromises in our world, you will be shaking your head. The things that we hear of in the news, they're just unbelievable things. But yet God calls us to completely follow Him, despite the obstacles, despite the challenges. And so let's put together a few lessons for our time tonight. The characteristics of Caleb that we've seen in this short study of his life is, first of all, he had this characteristic of courage. The Bible tells us as we update things and bring this into the New Testament that you and I, we're going to have the same kind of courage. You may recall 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, where the Bible talks about God's not given us a spirit of fear. Well, if God's not given that to us, where does it come from? Well, it has to come from the devil. It has to come from when we're just looking around in the world. And you know what? Because the devil was able to successfully talk those cowardly spies into that evil report, look at all the problems they had to face because of that. But when we realize that we can do what God has given us to do, then and only then will we be just like Caleb and we'll have that courage. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 talks about those who are fearful and unbelieving. And it says about the fearful, they'll be cast into the lake that burns with fire. So Caleb was a man who was not afraid of giants. He was not afraid of anything that was there in the land because he knew that God was going to be with him. And brethren, we need to leave here tonight with the conviction that as long as we're faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. And we can encounter any adversary. We can deal with any complication that comes about in our world as long as we stick close to God. So we possess that characteristic of courage. He had a characteristic of dedication to God as well. He wholly followed the Lord. The Bible reflects upon that in passages like 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse number 6, that we've referred to already, where Paul makes those final statements about his life when he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And you remember he said, there's a crown. There's a crown now waiting for me, and not to me only, but to all them that love the Lord. All them that love his appearing. Caleb had an exemplary spirit about him of courage despite what he was going to face in his world. And just like Paul will be that individual who will close his life out, realizing he's likewise been faithful. So the encouragement is there for us as well. And then finally tonight, I want to say to you that Caleb possessed that character of final faith. In other words, he was faithful right to the very end. He carried his faith from the beginning, and it was all the way through to the very end. Caleb told the people, if the Lord is with us, don't be afraid. If the Lord is with us, we can do what God has given us to do. And the Bible reflects on that in passages as we've already looked at in Numbers 14 and verse number 9. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31, I so love that passage where Paul writes and makes the statement, a question really, a question that we have to consider in our own lives as we live out our lives in this world. And the question is this, if God is for us, who's against us? You know, who's going to be able to defeat us if God is on our side? One man with God is an undefeatable army against whatever opposition may come. One woman fully dedicated to God is undefeatable, but we have to remain dedicated and have that full assurance of hope to the end. In Romans chapter 8 at verse number 37, after Paul gives that long list of all of these things that may be coming up in a person's life, he'll finally make that statement, in all these things we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We just have to be like Caleb. We have to have that courage. We have to have that conviction. And we have to be different. We can't be average. We can't be ordinary. We have to be different and wholly follow the Lord. I hope tonight, as we spent a little time with looking at Caleb's life, I know he lived thousands of years ago in a place so very far away from where we live, but his character, his conviction, his courage, who he was in his relationship to God, that transcends all distance and all time. And it encourages us, it inspires us that I can be just like Caleb. I can live that life of conviction. I can wholly follow the Lord. If tonight there's something we can help you with in that regard in your own Christian life, then here in just a minute as Alan leads this song, then as your brothers and sisters here in this place, of course, we're ready to assist you and help you in whatever way that we can. If for some reason there's someone among us tonight who's not a Christian, please consider carefully to begin your life of service to Christ this very night, believing Jesus is the Christ and confessing that, repenting and being baptized. And if we can help you with that, then why don't you come while Alan leads us in this song just now.